Well, good morning. This is Tom Moulton, and I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And every Thursday, beginning at 9 o'clock, I get the opportunity to share with you a lot about what's going on in Tucson. And today we have a very special guest. She and I met maybe a couple of years ago, and I think we shared some of the same concerns about there wasn't a lot to do with your young children when you're here in Tucson. Now, if you look in the yellow pages or whatever they call them these days, showing my age, Katie, you'll have a lot of things listed, but when you really get down to it, having quality time with your children is extremely important, and it certainly is very important to Katie Yale, the founder and the CEO of the Play District. Good morning, Katie.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're with us, even though I know you're preparing to go to a big press conference today. We all are at Old Tucson. Yes. I think we'll probably be scared a little bit today because they always introduce their new characters. So that's a big thing that's going on today. But we're going to talk today for the next 50 minutes or so about what's going on really with the Play District and what's going on with the things to do for and with the family and, of course, those with small children. But first, Katie, let's talk a little bit about you. I did a little bit of research on you, and it's really interesting that how you describe yourself as the chauffeur and the snack producer and the entrepreneur and you know, there's just a lot of opportunities out there when you decided that you were going to take on a new project. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. And right before COVID, I actually was interested in opening a Play Cafe. So that's actually the original thought for the Play District. Then the pandemic hit, and I kind of reevaluated my priorities and thought a way that I could serve the community in a different way. And I was in San Diego with my two kids right after the pandemic, and they were pretty young at the time, I think 3 and 6, and we were trying to find things to do in a new city, and we were really struggling, and it took a really long time to research places to go, places to eat, attractions that I could take them to, you know, as just a mom and two kids. So I thought this would be great if we could have a resource that had all the information in one place. And I thought, what better place to bring it to first than Tucson, Arizona? You know, I think there is some great family-friendly things to do in Tucson. It's just a little bit harder to find. And, you know, I hope through the work that I do that it encourages more attractions, more family-friendly businesses to join us here.
Well, and there's a lot of credibility to what you just said because as you have two beautiful boys, and you're not afraid to share their photos with the family. I can see where, you know, when I got here back in 1997, I think it was, I was offered a job at Old Tucson, and we did the same kind of research when we took a look at our core product. We had just experienced a big fire, and we had just reopened to the public. And I kept seeing, you know, who comes to Tucson? And it's tourists, of course, but a lot of those tourists at that time were empty nesters. And, of course, they were looking for things to do if they had grandbabies, but the audience has changed considerably since then. We've had, I think the average age is in the 30s now, and it's no longer just a wonderful place to retire. And we were fortunate to be only just up the street from the Desert Museum. But quite frankly, they were getting all the families and we weren't. So we undertook a big research project with a fellow called Harrison Price. Harrison Price was an economic research guy that actually did the initial evaluation of where to put Disneyland and what kinds of things that they should put in there. And he backed it up with numbers. And I've experienced that by working very close, not necessarily at Disneyland, but being friends with Disney and being friends with Six Flags and actually ultimately working at Six Flags. Through my own practical experience, when I had small children, we went to Disney World and Disneyland, and I have to say it wasn't just the kiddie land that they enjoyed. They were able to get on just about every major ride. Now, they may not been in the driver's seat, but they could get on every ride. And then we went to Magic Mountain, and they had to be 48 or 54 inches to ride anything. Now, they had a wonderful kiddie land, but they, you know, when they're 6, 7, 8 years old, they don't want to ride the kiddie rides anymore. And I think having a resource guide was a wonderful idea. And we really appreciate the fact that you kind of sought us out, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we embraced your project immediately. And we're really so happy that you are now. How much has it been? 2 years now that you've been in the project, or a little bit longer?
I think it's going to be two or 3 years.
You're having so much fun. Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. I think this October it'll be 2 years since we launched the website. So, and we're probably planning our birthday party at Main Event in October. So.
Yes, I've seen you many times over at the Main Event, and you know, obviously a different product than their parent company, Dave & Buster's, but some similarities. But certainly they cater to smaller children, and you know, obviously I grew up with arcades, but they're a little more sophisticated, a little more interactive than
just with the tie.
But just bowling at the Main Event too, and that's really interesting because you could always bowl. I mean, I don't care how old you are, and of course, with all the innovation, with the things they put in the gutters, and now you don't even have to know how to score. Yeah, it's all done electronically, so it's just
glow in the dark. And
oh yeah, there's so much more. Well, you have the small children, so you're up on what they do there. But it's a great place.
I think they call it cosmic bowling. Oh. But that was around when I was younger. But yeah.
We didn't use the word cosmic when it came to bowling, but we certainly had. It was a place where we could go with mom and dad. And they were part of a bowling team every Friday, and of course they had to eat and have and they had a watering hole there as well. But they had that was their Friday social event, and then on Sunday they would take us to bowling, and they knew everybody, of course, at the bowling alley, and we were really in quality family time with them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're all about. So.
So we're going to be back in just a few moments with Katie Yaley. She is the founder and the CEO of the Play District, and we're going to learn a lot more because she's started to expand beyond Southern Arizona. This is Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson and the SAAA. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host today for Jump in Tucson, and we have a special guest, Katie Yaley, she is the founder and the CEO of the Play District from Tucson. But there's more to talk about in just a moment because Katie is expanding. But before we get to that, Katie, again, good morning. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, let's talk just a brief moment because we didn't get involved in a little more of your background and what did you learn before you started to do this from your previous jobs? And of course, I think the big job was when you became mom. That is a big job. I have two beautiful kids, a boy and a girl, and one of them is kind of sort of maintenance free, and another one of them is, I think he's never going to be maintenance free, but you know, we love him and we enjoy him. And now I have two grandbabies. One of them turned six yesterday, first grade. And of course we were all there, vis-a-vis our phone. And, grandmother bought her a, butterfly dress, for her first day as first grade. So it was a big family affair. And obviously electronics has really kept us engaged. Obviously there was the phone when I was a kid and when my kids were smaller, but it's just not the same when you can get on that phone and do the video call. You know, that was a AT&T sci-fi dream back at a World's Fair where they had their first video phone, and we all wondered, like, what the heck? Why would you want to see each other on the phone? And there are still people that we're going to have a Zoom call and they never turn their camera on. And I don't know if they're still in their pajamas or whatever the reasons are. They're not. It's a bad hair day, you know, but tell us a little bit more about, you know, as you were before in San Diego, and you were working, of course, and you were doing some things. And I think all of those contributed, because there is a business side or collaboration side of your business as well.
For sure. Yeah. So I graduated from the U of A. So
yay.
Wildcats, go Wildcats, with a degree in retail and consumer sciences and business administration. I have worked in a lot of different fields. I worked at Starbucks for a really long time. It was kind of like, you know, I worked there almost, I think, 9 or 10 years. So when I graduated in 2008, which was a really terrible time to graduate. The jobs were really hard to find, especially in the retail space, also finance, which is what my now husband graduated in. So we were kind of just desperate to find a job at that point. So I continued on with Starbucks, and then I moved over to hospitality, and I worked for the Westin La Paloma. I worked at their spa. I was a manager at the spa, and I worked a lot with group sales, so any kind of conferences that come in. So I have a really great understanding of, you know, conference sales and working with the hospitality industry. And then I started up an e-commerce brand where I sold handmade dog collars online. So just very, very random things. And I sold at, you know, local Tucson markets. I sold a ton online. And then my kids were born. And I didn't have as much time as I thought I did. And I saw my poor dog. I pivoted from dog stuff and then was trying to focus more on kid stuff. And that's kind of how I came to be. So I was very determined to have a job and, you know, contribute to my family, but also not neglecting my kids. So my kids are very involved in my business, and, you know, they get to see mom do all these cool things. And, you know, work to us is like going and exploring a new place. So it's really exciting to be able to integrate them in with my work and, you know, make them proud of mom, and mom does cool stuff. So
it's certainly, if you're going to recommend something, it's more about just collecting the fee. You know, you're endorsing it. You're giving it, you know, 4 or 5 stars, and you've experienced it with you and your husband and your kids. And I think that's very important, because we all can't necessarily depend on a Yelp rating.
Right. Well, and one thing that does make us unique is we actually don't have reviews on our site. We don't tend to review places. We try to give as much information about locations, because every family is different. Every expectation from a family is different. You know, someone could think an attraction is amazing. It's the best thing they've ever seen. And then someone could be like, I've been around the world. This is nothing. So we try to provide as much information for people so they can make the best decision that fits their family.
Well, that's great. And I think it's important. There are things out there to do. And there wasn't a resource guide and before you had this dream. And now you're fulfilling your dream. And it's been, as you indicated, 2 years and maybe two or three websites later. Because
yes.
I know you just wanted to get that website just right.
it's still a work in progress, so we're chugging along.
Well, I think it's always going to be a work in progress. And the Attractions Alliance, as you know, is developing a new website too. And I was on the phone yesterday. We're beyond the, you know, the wireframe, and now we're into how do we want to feature the content, and is the content new? Is it old? Do we want to refresh the content?
It's a huge undertaking.
It really is. Thank goodness we're able to have a fellow that works with the Tucson Guide, one of our members as well, and very patient for sure. Now, now that you've been involved for 2 years, you got, I don't know, I think it was always your dream to expand beyond the boundaries of Tucson and Southern Arizona. So how is that going, and where are you right now headed?
Yeah, so we actually expanded into the Phoenix market back in October of last year. So we're coming up on a year of being there.
Wow.
A little slower of a start. You know, it's hard to manage, obviously, two cities and getting the right people in place there. We're finally making some big strides, but Phoenix is a totally different beast than Tucson. So just learning how to adapt our business practices to better match bigger cities, and it's going really well. And then we're kind of laying the land to expand into San Diego. So, I mean, the idea for this business is to be in every city. So, the whole idea is if you're traveling to Chicago with your family, you could go to our website and find all the family-friendly things to do with things that, you know, parents want to search by, like, can I bring my stroller? Is there a family restroom? Are there high chairs at the restaurant? Is there a kids menu? Those type of things to just kind of lessen the apprehension of parents when traveling with kids.
That allows me to give my one opportunity for a restaurant to become truly a kids restaurant. Have bendy straws. I don't know what happened to
bendy straws.
To the bendy straw, but every time you go, and a little poor little kid's got his plastic glass, and he's trying to reach his, you know, the drink, and he bends over the straw, and he can't get anything out of it. And I think if I was smart, I'd always have in my pocket four or five bendy straws whenever I go,
right?
And
exactly.
Become the hero of the day.
But that's the kind of feedback that we want, because we want to know, like, would you, you know, if you were looking at a restaurant and you saw they had, like, kids' cups with lids, like, would that be something? You know, I think, you know, sometimes if they give the kids, like, a giant glass of water or something with no lid on it, that's scary. So, you know, thinking about those kind of things. So that's why we, you know, all of the filters on our website are all based on that kind of feedback of what people look for before they go to a location.
Yeah, of course, the days of Tommy Tipsy Cups have been over for a long time. You probably missed that era as well.
They have zillions of cups now.
I know, it's all it's amazing even how a 9th or 10th month a kid can figure out how to get the water out of that new glass that when you turn over it doesn't spill. But
yep.
Anyway, thank you for that memory. I'm kind of re-experiencing all of that now with my grandbabies. So tell us, you know, again, 2 years in Tucson, 1 year in Phoenix. Now you're trying to get San Diego going, and obviously you being in three different places is challenging. But I'm interested in what you said about how Phoenix is a completely different market than Tucson, because I don't think you mean that as being negative. On the other hand, no. If you're a pure Tucson person and you promote Tucson every day like we do at the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, we do have a tendency to compare us to the Phoenix market, or not necessarily the northern market, but mostly Phoenix. But on the other hand, we love to have their 5 million plus people come down and visit us, in which they do, of course, you know. We're going to stop right there because we got another break. This is Jumpin' Tucson, and we'll continue this conversation in just a few moments. Well, good morning. This is Tom Moulton, and you're listening to Jumpin' Tucson. Today, we have the Play District CEO, and we're talking what is there to do for kids, and how she developed the Play District a couple of years ago, and now expanding into Phoenix and San Diego. And we left off really starting to talk about a little bit about the challenges of moving into, because you're still very engaged in Tucson, but moving some of the business model into a completely different city. Even though Tucson is the second largest city in Arizona, the difference between Tucson and Phoenix is more than the 4 million people. So, Katie, tell us a little bit about some of the challenges about expanding your business into Phoenix.
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, there's a lot more options in the Phoenix area. Everything seems to be very spread out. So we also have to look at the different areas of town. So the way that they're represented on our website is a little bit different than it is in Tucson. So for example, in Tucson, we have like areas of town. We have central, downtown, we have northeast, we have, you know, we do have Marana and Oro Valley and such, but the cities that are represented in the Phoenix area are, you know, very vast and, you know, very far away. So we just have to cover a lot more land. There's a lot more competition. So, you know, instead of dealing with one indoor playground like we have in Tucson, there's about 15 to 20 in the Phoenix area.
Wow.
So that in itself is very challenging, just the sheer volume of the attractions and family-friendly businesses there, as well as, you know, and it's a different price point than Tucson because of that competition. So thinking about, you know, what we charge for our advertising is going to be different in Phoenix versus Tucson. One thing that I love about Tucson that I don't love about Phoenix is that when you talk to businesses in Tucson, I find a lot of their marketing and such is done in-house. And when I go to Phoenix, I find I'm dealing with a lot of PR companies that are representing these businesses. So it makes it just another level of communication, because then they have to communicate with the business owners. So it's just like I'm going through another middleman. So that makes it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more complex.
Yeah, I think being face-to-face with the decision maker versus, in a sense, a hired help, even though they're more than that,
right.
They're engaged. But they have to, the level of authority sometimes can be very frustration, as we call it, a little bit different than frustration. But because you're
we've had discussions about that.
Yes, we have. I mean, one of the things, if you get to know Katie a little bit better from this radio broadcast, he's very passionate, and so am I, you know, and about the attractions. And we started the Attractions Alliance with a truly understanding that while you may have two botanical gardens and two zoos, that we're all in this together to promote Tucson. And we promote each other. And that was the model. The model was,
right,
you can join us. We don't care where you're big or small, large amount of resources or small resources. You're all equals in that you have a great and wonderful business. And our common goal is that it takes visitors, takes guests in order to survive. And 26 years later, we're 120 members. About 100 of those are attractions, and you know we don't have every attraction because some attractions they're on their own, and they are collaborating, but in a different way with us and the Attractions Alliance and with the Play District. It's free. It's free sharing of ideas. There's really nothing that takes place as far as from a negative standpoint. It's all about helping each other. And Phoenix right. does not have an Attractions Alliance. And it would be wonderful if we could join forces with you and in Phoenix and help them with our model that's been successful. Now, I wouldn't say our model is completely new, because Florida Attractions Alliance was our model, and they started out small, and then they ended up being regional, and then they ended up being for the whole state. And they represent the attractions, and that's what we do here at the SAAA. And the Play District, though, is more than just attractions. It's all kinds of different activities. Tell us a little bit about some of those activities other than the attractions that you are working with.
Yeah, so we work with everything from restaurants, classes and services. If you go to our website, on our family guide, we cover all, you know, these different categories. We also do parties, so any party vendors, caterers, balloons, face painters, all of that, as well as we do hotel and travel. So we do work with Visit Tucson, you know, trying to get more families to Tucson, and, you know, let them know about the family-friendly venues that they could visit. And then we also have local events. So we kind of serve our local community as well through our events calendar that has just family-friendly events that are going on in their local area.
Now, you've had two that I'm aware of. You may have had more. The first one I attended was at Traildustown. A wonderful place for families. And then you had one at Old Tucson. A different experience, obviously, it was an outdoor experience. Tell us a little bit about what goes on during those kinds of events.
Yeah, so we have what we call our Let's Play Playdates. These are a little bit smaller events. I mean, the one at Old Tucson was, you know, Old Tucson's huge, so I had to do it a little bit bigger for them. But usually they're smaller events, you know, to bring people together, to get families to visit a space they've never visited before. We've done them at Main Event. We did one at the Reed Park Zoo when the World of Play opened. And, you know, just to kind of give people, you know, a new experience. And usually we do like reduced or free admission for those. So maybe if they were trepidous to pay for entry, this is a good opportunity to try it out with little commitment. And then we have our Playpalooza, which is at Traildustown. We ran our first one in February, and it was so successful. We had over 3,000 people there. So we are really excited to announce that we will be doing it again on November 10th. So we're going to have it be a biannual thing kind of between Halloween and Christmas, because I'm not doing any holiday events. So that was kind of the sweet spot. So it's going to be on Sunday, November 10th at Traildustown.
from 11 to 4. So we're really excited to, you know, build upon what we did in February and make it probably going to be bigger. So it's going to be really exciting.
We'll have to contact Papa Noel and then see if he wouldn't mind traveling down a little bit south for that special
that
event.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean, he loves children, of course, and he's keeping a list, so you know he's conflicted sometimes. But I think wonderful. It won't necessarily be a holiday event, but it's close enough to the holidays to have a little bit of a holiday feel, and I think having Papa Noel there would be a big hit for the kids.
That would be fantastic. The reason we've done a holiday event in the past, but there's also so many holiday events going on during the fall and the winter. So instead of throwing our own event, we are supporting other people's events. So we will focus more on like tabling at other events or helping promote as a media sponsor for other events that are going on around town. So that's kind of time consuming on our end is juggling all the different things going on, because there is a lot. The weather cools down and it gets busy. So that's kind of where we want to keep our focus.
Yeah, and you know, you still have two small children, so they take up a considerable amount of your time, and then you got that big guy, you know, the big child.
Yeah, it's a big baby. I have three children, Tom, not just two.
Hey, my wife tells me that all the time, you know. No, I have three children that I deal with, not two. We're going to talk in the next segment about how you can get into the Play District Resource Guide. It is free, as I understand, but obviously you have some criteria in order to be then there. I would presume a broad stroke of that would certainly be you need to have services, activities, or something that brings the families together. And it doesn't necessarily, like some of our attractions, there doesn't have to be an admission fee. We have a lot of attractions here, a lot of festivals that are free. I think it's having the resource guide online, and we certainly over here, the SAAA support, we will be back. This is Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson, as you mentioned, and happy to be associated with them for 26 years as well. Be right back, and we'll wrap up with Katie Yaley from the Play District. Well, we're back. This is Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson, and a special guest today is Katie Yaley from the Play District. Sorry about that, Katie.
No,
I was playing with my computer at that time, and that word district didn't want to come out, but it's the Play District.
No worries.
Katie is the founder and the CEO of the Play District, much more than just a resource guide that's available. She does lots of activities, lots of events, bringing folks like the attractions together and invites the public to come visit. And it's all about getting to know what is in your own backyard. And there is a lot to do here, really, even though the research shows years ago, a lot of it was just simply awareness. And we've actually, at the Attractions Alliance, are in a sense separating some of those attractions that we know are a big hit with the kids. Obviously, I'll give you an example. Desert Museum, is one of those broad-based attractions, educationally, you know, in spirit, on everything that they do, nonprofit, and it's huge with kids. But it's also big for adults too. Reed Park Zoo, all zoos, the most attended attraction whenever you go out of town is an aquarium or a zoo, according to national surveys. And we have such a wonderful zoo here, and you probably saw the news not too long ago that they broke their attendance records over there, and they're the largest, most attended attraction next to the state parks and the national parks and stuff like that, where they have a different way to track their attendance. But certainly over 600,000 people enjoy our zoo. And we're still kind of known as a little zoo, but we're really not just a little zoo. We're so
not
much more
long.
Than that. No, they're putting new exhibits in, and my favorite is the elephants and the giraffes. And they were on the show maybe about a month ago and talking about all the babies that are happening out there. And that, I guess you would have to say that whoever is designing their habitats out there is doing a good job, because their moms and dads are having babies out there. So which is, and it's, you never know when you go out there, you know, what baby's on exhibit. So. The Play District, we've been talking about how it's expanded into Phoenix. So that's operating and working. San Diego is a little bit newer. How long have you been in San Diego?
I'm still building up the resource there.
Okay.
So probably whenever I'm there, I work when I'm there. So we go and explore. So we're really focused on building up the social media before we release the online resource. So we're trying to gain our audience in that way and kind of enter a new market. So that's kind of our strategy to go into a new market like San Diego, is build it up on social media and then move to the resource. So then when the resource launches, it's super successful.
Katie, as you know, I'm on the board of the Tucson City of Astronomy, and we have a big program where we certify restaurants to be part of the Tucson City of Gastronomy. There's a list of criteria that they have to achieve, and certainly the local, being local, is very important. Now, I can't remember who the brand that was using the word kids tested. Have you had any thoughts about creating some kind of a program where maybe it's not you, but it's the kids that say, this is a great place to go to with mom and dad? Have you thought about doing some kind of certification program?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely thought about doing some sort of, either through a nomination process, everything that we do at the Play District, we want it to have a positive impact on the businesses that work with us. So, you know, that's the reason we don't do any reviews, but we're exploring different ways to, you know, give what we're going to call kudos to different businesses. And then once it can reach a certain number of kudos, then, you know, they can get kind of like a Play District stamp of approval. So it'll kind of be based on the community and how much they love the business. So we're only about giving love, no negativity. So that's something we're considering in the future.
No, I understand it, and I think the worst thing a restaurant could do is have a kid's meal and do away with it. I won't mention any names. But being with the two grandbabies now, I've experienced the world of kids' meals. You know, it's probably a necessity now because the other meals are so expensive. And the kids just don't.
And you know what? Restaurants are a very tricky thing to advertise for, because obviously, you know, restaurants can advertise as family friendly, but then, you know, if someone doesn't have a family, they're not necessarily going to want to go to a family friendly restaurant. So, you know, advertising through us about the family friendliness of their restaurant is kind of a safe space, because you're only advertising to families through us. So you don't have to worry about the people wanting to do date night because they're not concerned that there's going to be kids there. So it's a really safe place to advertise if you're wanting to bring in more families, and advertising things like kids menus and kid offerings.
That's two things. If you've learned anything from today, it's have a kid's meal and have bendy straws, and then you're in.
exactly.
So, Katie, we're I can't believe it. We're out of time already, and it's so been wonderful. Tell us your website again and to check it out. And if you're interested in being in the resource guide, contact Katie directly. Katie, how do we get hold of you?
Yeah, so you can go to theplaydistrict.com. You can create an account. You can create a family account. Like all your favorite businesses, you can share those favorite businesses through a public profile. There you can make a free business account. That allows you to have a free business listing, and you can enter in one event a month. And then if you are looking for further advertising and you are a part of the SAAA, we do offer a special discount to SAAA members. So that's a really great incentive.
All right. Well, there's
that we worked on this year.
There's our music cue. I mean, can't believe it. We could talk. We could go another hour. Don't forget to tune. Thank you, Katie. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. You're welcome. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow and hear Dr. Ackerley at 9 o'clock. He's got a bunch of guests that you really will enjoy. And I'm Tom Moulton, and we're brought to you by the SAAA and Visit Tucson. And we'll be back next Thursday, where we're going to talk about the Tucson Jazz Festival with their executive director, Chris Dodge. Have a great day. This is Jump in Tucson.